Trevor Zamparelli on 2FM
with Virgin Mobile. Go from scrolling through stories to creating your own. Freedom is calling. Virgin Mobile. Bring on amazing.
Now, have you ever used or been tempted to use a DNA testing kit? We all hear about their uses all the time, and loads of people are still very sceptical about handing over their biological data to a private company. Now, tech editor of the Sunday and Irish Independent, Adrian Weckler, gave it a go, and he joins me now to talk about it. Adrian, how are you?
I'm very well, Afrek. How are you?
Oh, good. I'm not too bad. What actually pushed you to give this a try?
Well, I got a random email from somebody I didn't know who had the same surname as mine, which is very rare. There are only two of us in Ireland,
yeah. Weckler.
And this person wasn't Irish, and they were wondering whether they were related. And we got a few polite exchanges over email. And then this person said, well, I've actually done this, an online DNA test, to find out who my wider relatives are. And it also, you know, told me a few details about, you know, whether I might be seriously ill in future. So yeah. I decided, I've written about online DNA tests before from a point of view of being wary of them, because you're handing over your DNA to a private company and you don't know where it's going to end up, and could it end up with an insurance company and all that sort of stuff before. But I decided, you know what, I haven't actually walked the walk on this one.
Right.
So I decided, to sign up to one of them, 23andMe. They sent me out a little plastic vial. I spit into it. I sent it off back to them, and about 6 weeks later, they came back to me with, I have to say, a fairly extraordinary set of results.
Wow.
Both from a health and a kind of a, this is what you're likely to do, this is the way you're likely to walk, all that sort of stuff.
Wow. So is it, when you get the results back, are they, how are they like presented? Is it pages and pages and pages of data, or do they kind of do an overview, or what's...
I mean, they do both. And,
okay.
And they give you a login. You have an online account, and you log in, and you know, we have received your tests, please log in again, and for security, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
And then you get all these sections and all these tabs on the page saying things like, you know, serious health conditions, right? So there are 59 potential serious health conditions
terrifying.
That the sample of DNA that you have given will indicate, according to their testing, whether you might be vulnerable to those conditions. And I mean, these are, some of these are serious. So like the ones I got back, you know, all of them except one were negative.
Right. Okay.
But the negative ones were things like cystic fibrosis, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, you know, kidney disease, BRCA1 and 2, which is breast cancer. The only one I actually came back as potentially vulnerable to was diabetes, which I kind of knew because I have that in the family.
I was going to ask you, did it match up with your understanding of your sort of family history of illnesses and stuff?
It did broadly. Now, to be clear, just in case anybody's thinking that this is kind of a proxy for going to get tested for stuff, they do make it clear that they're only testing in a particular sample in a particular way. It's not a proxy for going and getting a proper medical exam. But they've tested millions of people at this point. So the database that they have, if... you know, other people on their database who are close to you in DNA, which is a relative term, if they are showing up for some of these conditions, then there is a greater possibility that you will too.
That's really interesting. So apparently, the lads were telling me here, apparently Jen did this years ago, and it turned out that her family has basically never left Baldoyle. So it was your background.
Actually, one of the weird things that I found is apparently I'm much, much more highly associated with Neanderthals than most people.
That's lovely.
Neanderthals. So I'm the living representative of the Neanderthal left.
God, was your background kind of, was it a bit more diverse? Like, was it more diverse than you expected?
It actually was much less diverse than I expected.
Oh,
so
really?
My dad's American, and I have family that came from Germany to the US, and then I've the other side of my family's Irish. I was expecting kind of a lot more diversity. In fact, I got the old boring, you're 96% Irish and British and Welsh. I was hoping for a little bit of, you know, Swahili.
Something interesting, something a bit more.
Yeah,
I know.
Something in there, yeah.
Exactly. What were the most interesting things that you found out about yourself?
Well, Well, you know what? The medical stuff was kind of interesting because you're going down through those and it's a list and you're reading them one by one. And every time it goes, you know, like, you know, cystic fibrosis, variants not detected, and you're letting out a sigh of relief and you're doing it again and again. But when it was actually arguably more interesting, it got to a section called wellness and traits.
Okay.
This is 45 different. And I'm talking about things like the ability to match musical pitch, or whether you have back hair, or you know, whether you're more or less likely to have a fear of public speaking or hate chewing noises. Okay. In almost all of them, they were accurate.
Wow.
Almost all of them. You know, things like your toe length ratio, whether your big toe is longer, you know, whether you're likely to have a unibrow. Right.
Do you have one, Adrian? Do you mind me asking?
I do not. Okay. I do not have a unibrow.
And how are your toes? All good?
They're fine. They're great toes. They're great toes, Africa.
What did it get absolutely wrong about you?
It got a couple of things wrong. It said that I was likely to have detached earlobes, and that was absolutely incorrect. And I took grave offense at that.
Yeah.
It got a couple of other things wrong. It got the unibrow thing wrong.
Oh, yes. Yeah, exactly.
It said that I was likely to have a unibrow thing. But all the other stuff, you know, motion sickness, whether I've red hair, I don't.
Wow.
Whether sweet and salty, I likely prefer salty. That's absolutely correct. Ice cream flavor preference, about a 50-50 chance of vanilla and chocolate. That's absolutely correct.
That's wild.
Now, to be fair, that got me scratching my head. How on earth can they tell that from me spitting into a vial? To be clear, they do extensive detailed surveys with the people who have spit in. And those people say, yeah, I prefer salty to sweet or whatever. And those results feed back and then are matched against my DNA. So that's how they come up with all that sort of magical stuff.
I understand what you're saying. So like the thing I think that puts people off a lot of the time is that, so say you're talking about the tab on your results that had your things that you might be susceptible to.
Yeah.
The risks of that data being taken by the likes of an insurance company in the future, or other data being taken by people without us knowing, what are those risks really?
So to me, that is the $64 million question.
Mm.
On the face of it, they appear to be low for two reasons. First of all, Irish law forbids it. So there's an actual specific Irish law, the Disabilities Act 2005, which specifically calls out genetic data and says that it is not allowed ever to be used to judge, for example, an insurance policy or life insurance policy or health insurance, or, you know, mortgage or employment or anything like that. So they're not allowed to do that.
Because it could be invaluable to them, that kind of
information. Oh, my God. I mean, this is not your password.
No.
This is not even your face ID. This is your DNA. You cannot change it, you know. So the obvious risk of it getting out there and somehow being monetized or hacked, maybe not now, maybe in 10 or 20 years. Mm. Like, it's possible that people like me are coming on the radio and saying things like, oh, no, there's no way that they can really, you know, make money out of that. Yeah, not now.
But once they have that
in a database, if it is hacked in the year 2041, it's entirely possible. However, the company obviously swears absolutely blind that that this won't happen. As somebody who writes a lot about data privacy and GDPR, I am conscious that it's largely an American company. It's outside the European Union, which means
outside jurisdiction,
I can't really rely on the protections that I would have in Europe overall. Now, that still doesn't mean that an Irish insurance company can use this to my detriment.
Sure.
And it also doesn't mean that if I'm taking out a health insurance policy or something like that, I don't know if you've ever taken out one of those, but form, and you have to disclose all sorts of stuff.
Everything,
They're general provisions that they tell you. By the way, is there anything else that you might know that might affect?
Exactly, as broad as possible. Yeah.
And you might be thinking, oh, well, I did take that genetic DNA test, and that did say that I might have a propensity.
Yeah.
You don't have to disclose. So that is a protection, a legal protection that you do have.
That's interesting. So how long do you think, like, it will be before, say, GP might be using this technology to help prevent future illnesses? Or is that just kind of a, is that a pipe dream kind of thing?
No, it's not a pipe dream. Okay. I think it's much sooner than we think. There's a very big Irish startup. It's a medical startup that essentially you, it's kind of mail order diagnosis for stuff, for things like STDs and other conditions.
Yeah.
And I spoke to its CEO a few months ago, and he was saying that their next phase is to start doing spit tests and DNA tests so that they can diagnose what you might be vulnerable to and prescribe an optional potential subscription medicine. So you'd get medicine, say, you know, every 3 months or every 6 months, the way that almost you might from like an online platform provider. Yeah. So I don't think it's far off at all.
Wow.
Now, to be fair, the other big question that I was getting was, you know, including my wife, oh, God, I don't really want to know if I have a propensity for Parkinson's
that would be me, too. Like, I kind of would, would rather live in blissful ignorance. You know what I mean?
Well,
because you have an idea anyway of what you're susceptible to with your, say, your family history and stuff like that. But I would kind of balk, I have to say, at having it laid out in front of me on black and white on a computer screen or whatever.
I mean, that was what my wife's reaction was, and many people I know. My response to that kind of is, look, if there is a chance that I'm susceptible to some of this stuff, should that not be a little warning to go and get medically tested for it?
Sure, yeah.
Even if, let's say it was absolute dead cert, right, you're definitely going to get, excuse me, cancer, okay? Mm-hmm. That's not what the test does, but let's say it did. I kind of want to know. I'd be out. I'd get a Ferrari.
Like that
I'd be out living the life for the next few
that
years.
That is wild,
you know?
To me.
Now, to be fair, on a serious note, there are people who've used tests like this and other methods. Maybe not a DNA test. I mean, I think Angelina Jolie had a version of this where she basically did extensive testing.
Yeah.
And I think she ended up getting a double mastectomy.
Yeah, it's for the BRCA gene. Yeah, absolutely.
Yes,
you get genetic testing to see whether what your likelihood is, because it is so increased by the BRCA gene. So, I understand that.
Do you know what I mean? So you're kind of thinking, oh, God, this is really doom and gloomy. I don't want to know. But then on the other hand, this could actually save my life.
For sure. You know? No, absolutely. So what do you reckon, just as finally, information of yours or anybody's was to get out into the private sector willingly, or whether it's by mistake or a hack or whatever it is, what parts of daily life would change for people if that was to happen?
I think that if this became more widespread, more accessible in a widespread way, it would be sold first as a positive, right? So the example that I gave of your GP or a doctor or medical company, you know, from now on, we're going to have a prescribed course and you're going to live an extra 10 years because there'll be no surprises in your future. That's the way it'll be sold as an opt-in. Okay. So someone like 23andMe, and they have never said this, I'm just entirely speculating here, but a company like that will float the idea of making the database public for those who want to opt in, or sharing it with companies for those who want to opt in. We do have precedents for this in a way. So the Apple Watch and Apple's health information, they allow you, if you want completely yourself, to share that information with your GP to try and so that they can get a handle on how you're doing in terms of your weekly or your monthly health. Now, that's not quite the same as DNA, but you're heading down that path. You're heading down the path of a gadget which is revealing quite sensitive health information about you being shared with service providers.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So that's the way I think it might affect our everyday lives if this becomes more public.
It's really fascinating. Like, it really, really is fascinating. I know a cousin of mine did a DNA test and found, you know, basically he had been adopted and found a lot of his biological family.
Wow. Which
is really interesting. But my mom is like bed into the idea now, and I'm kind of like, but this is what could happen. So I'm really fascinated to talk to you about it.
Yeah, did you see this? Did you see the Netflix documentary of the sperm donor clinic?
No, I haven't watched it yet.
Okay, where in 10 seconds, basically they did these DNA tests, all these women in the area, and discovered that actually the father of their kids, they had been told it was an anonymous sperm donor. It was this one guy.
One guy. I remember the story at the time. You know? Yeah, unbelievable. Yeah. Adrian Weckler, tech editor of the Irish and Sunday Independence. Absolutely brilliant. It's absolutely fascinating. And the lads have asked me to play a bit of Lizzo for you. Truth hurts, because it's just the right time to do it. So I'll do that now. Thanks a mil, Adrian.
Cheers, Afric.
Thanks a lot. So if it's something that you feel like you would do, I would love to hear whether you've done it or whether you would, it would be something that you'd be interested in.
Jennifer Zaffarelli.
Weekday morning from 9
on 2FM.